This is an official Staggering Stories warning. The following podcast contains singing that may be of a disturbing nature. Any damage to furniture, or indeed your brain, is entirely at your own risk. www.staggeringstories.net, podcast series 1, number 19, after 3, 1, 2, 3... Hello there. Welcome to the Staggering Stories podcast. They're in a very silly mood this evening. This is series 1, number 19, as I just said.
You did.
I did. Anyway, that's Adam.
Hello.
Who didn't sing.
No. He's a bad person.
Yes. Oh, dear. That's fake Keith over there who couldn't sing.
Yes, that was me, yes.
That's Crumbly over there who...
Who shouldn't sing.
No. Well, say hello, Crumbly.
Hello, Crumbly.
Oh, God. And I'm Tony, and I'm banned from singing under United Nations laws.
So should William Shatner.
He doesn't sing.
No.
He speaks.
Dramatically interpretate.
Interpretate.
That's a Bushism if there was one.
George W.
I'm being possessed. Anyway, news?
Yeah.
News gone.
Straight into news. Well, first of all, where is Keith?
At home.
If we know. We don't know.
He's still at home.
That one out. So I think he's exploring the insides of the heads of Pertwee.
Mm. What are you implying?
I don't know, frankly.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Yes, hello, head of Pertwee.
He's gazing benevolently again.
Benevolently.
Is he really?
He is, yes.
Oh, good. So, news. Big news.
Ooh.
I hate to bring this up right from the very start, but we might as well get it out of the way.
Chips.
As you may or may not have gathered, I've taken over as one of the co-hosts of Doctor Who Online's WhoCast.
Ooh.
Yes. I'm leaving you little people behind. Ooh. No, I'm not, actually. I'm going to be doing this podcast until the crack of doom. So it's basically just go to Doctor Who Online. It's two new hosts. There's myself and a guy called Trev from fantragic.com.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Trev.
Fantragic.
Yes, now they do podcasts as well, and it's creepy because their setup is four friends, four microphones, mixing desks. They sit down, they talk about all sorts of different science fiction, including Doctor Who. It's a suspiciously familiar setup. One of our podcasts is from an alternate universe and has an evil goatee beard.
I think it's ours.
We're the evil twin?
I don't know. Well, we're the newer one on the block.
We're the evil twin.
New kid on the block.
Yeah.
Did you know they're reforming now?
Are they?
I didn't realise they'd been...
New kids on the block.
I know, they're doing a comeback tour. Mm. They've really got to change their name,
hang on,
though.
Hang on. New kids on the block. It's a popular beat combo.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Skiffle band.
They wear very baggy, loose trousers and no tops at all.
Don't they fall down all the time? Word.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
They do, yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
Word.
Oh, please don't say that. It's like,
I'm 40, I'm allowed to. It embarrasses people.
Well, so are most of the members of New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I'll still be doing the Staggering Stories podcast, and I'll also be doing the WhoCast, which basically means I'm going to be talking about the same things all the time.
Twice as
so
much.
So everyone else will experience what we've experienced for the last God knows how many years.
Yeah, couldn't it?
Oh, Lord.
Deja vu.
But in all fairness, though, Trevor has listened to the Staggering Stories podcast.
Hi, Trevor. And, again.
And how can I put this?
He doesn't like it, does he?
He sometimes wishes that somebody would throw a murker at me to shut me up.
Understandable.
Welcome on board, Trevor. Yes.
So I'm not going to say much this evening.
A pantomime horse.
Yes, a freshly painted one.
Oh.
Overlit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I watched Warriors of the Deep recently. Oh.
Isn't it brilliant?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's brilliant.
The bendy
the
door.
The murker has taken bendy the door. Base. Excellent, Starbuck.
Oh, anyway, what other news have we got? Mario Kart Wii.
Oh, that sounded like Alec Guinness, that did.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
So, in that case, what does my Alec Guinness impersonation sound
like? It sounds like a sea devil.
A sea devil.
On acid.
God, a sea devil. No.
So tell us about your Wii, Chief Scientist.
Yes, tell us about Mario Kart Wii. I mean, I've got
it's a golden game. It's an excellent game. It's... much like all previous Mario Karts, really.
It's a driving game.
A driving game, yep.
Silly one.
Get a little wheel with it, which is pretty rubbish.
Yes, I actually bought myself a GameCube controller so that I could play it like that.
Do you have to use the wheel, or can you use the nunchucky thing?
Mm-hmm. You can use the nunchuck and ordinary remote, you can use the wheel, or you can use a GameCube controller.
Ooh.
Mm. Which I find easier.
Yeah, and you can play online against people all over the world.
All over the world. Mm-hmm. I played against some Japanese people.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'm not doing too badly online, actually. It's quite scary.
Get your workmates into trouble. Tell us what they did.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, it's Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 to 5.
It's Crackerjack!
I think it's rather early than 5 to 5, but Friday afternoon, we have a little game sing at work sometimes, and we play a bit of Mario Kart.
You can play games at work.
I know. Yeah. Adam goes to work in the third year of school. You know, when you all bring a game.
The last day of term is Friday.
Yeah, I brought my little Palitoy 8080. and I left.
Did somebody bring Mousetrap?
Kaplunk.
Kaplunk.
I had to leave for our usual Friday night madness here.
Ah, yes.
And apparently they carried on playing until about 1 a.m. Saturday morning. On the big screen in the boardroom.
Screen.
Oh dear God.
Now tell us what their names are and where they work.
This would be the role playing, which, you know, the Buccaneer Chronicles, for example. The unfinished vampire mutation story.
Well, now
story.
I've finished my course, I can start doing that again if I feel
good.
Like
that
it.
That means we can actually finish
nah,
the Buccaneer
probably
Chronicles.
Never, ever not.
As everybody else, we're backed up. We're clogged.
Overtake
you need a plunger.
Then.
You need a Dalek.
Yes. There's no answer to that.
I'm hungry.
What, the entire country?
No, I just want my fish and chips.
Oh, chips.
Shut up. I'm really going to have to crack the whip tonight.
Ooh.
Wow. I am. I don't
it's like
know.
The Conservative Party conference all over again.
After letting somebody else edit the last podcast, I've got to reassert my dominance.
Damn fine job you did of it. Damn fine job.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
It was brilliant.
It's nice to know that, you know, if something happens to me, I can't be asked to finish that. There's a new sort of free patch expansion on World of Warcraft.
Yes.
The Sunfire,
which I've downloaded and never used, but
it's
now
brilliant.
I know how.
It's great. It's good. There's lots more daily quests you can do.
I think it's actually a first, isn't it? They've actually given away
something
part
within
of the patch.
A patch. Yeah. Yeah.
New geography.
It's not too much. It is new geography. It's only a small island.
Okay.
It's got a load of daily quests on it, and the daily quests, the more people that do these daily quests, the more amount of times it opens up new stuff on that island, new quests, new items you can get, new, you know, NPCs and this, that and the other. Mm. And also it's opened stuff up in other areas as well. So you can now, instead of doing, I think it's 10 daily quests when you're level 70.
It's 25 now,
Which means you can make a small fortune in gold and get very bored very quickly just doing daily quests over and over over.
I know a quick way of earning 5,000 gold pieces.
Not legally, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
Who says that's illegal?
Me.
Right, you're the law now. You are Judge Dredd.
I am, yes.
Isn't
look,
it illegal
I can do the
to
chin.
Solicit?
I can do the chin.
And it is illegal to solicit, yes. Yeah.
You look like you're pouting just then.
Gurney now.
That's your Judge Dredd chin, is it? We really need a photograph, just of the chin.
No!
Not the rest of the head, just the chin. So again, if you want to join us, World of Warcraft, on the Wildhammer server.
Yep. Mm. Look out for Bad Wolf. It's the saddest character name I've ever come up with, but that's me.
W-U-L-F. or Garen, and I do have a cat called Umstoff.
or Mottman.
Oh, there's Mottman, yeah. Hey, you can come and join our guild if you want to, because we're very sad.
Yep,
people
we are.
With no lives.
Can't and, join mine, though. No. Nobody's invited to my guild.
One man guild.
Of the Guild of One, the Lost Legion.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to ask it. Where are the others?
The others? last.
Yay!
And finally, and this is a quick plug for Doctor Who fan film.
Oh. All right.
And it's called, I've mentioned it before, it's called the Schrodinger effect.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it pronounced Schrodinger?
No.
Okay.
You have been told.
I am hanging my head.
Here's the rope.
Thank you.
It's out on DVD by the time this podcast is actually put online, because we're recording it on the 21st of April.
We are.
At the moment, but in a week's time it'll be online.
Yeah.
But by the time we're online, they'll have had the launch, which was on the 26th.
DVD, is it a pay for or download or?
Ah, I shall tell you.
Mm.
Basically, what you have to do is you need to email the director, which I believe the email address is chris_hoyle, H-O-Y-L-E.
That's a dorky middle name.
Oh, underscore.
Underscore.
Yeah. at btinternet.com or whatever that is. I will put the actual email address.
Yeah, in the show notes.
On the show notes. You're going to have to come to Staggering Stories or something. I don't know. We'll work it out. But what will happen is then he'll send you the actual details how you get it. I think what you need to do is send him a couple of quid just to cover the cost of the DVD and postage.
Postage and packaging.
I see.
Yes. Now, I've seen bits and pieces of it because I've done some of the music for it.
Shameless plug.
Yes, shameless plug. I've also done one of the voiceovers. But it's, as fan films go, it looks quite good.
Long time in the making, wasn't it?
6 years.
Yeah.
6 years. But in all fairness, I mean, I've seen the DVD menu, you know, the little thingy where they repeat the same few scenes over and over. And it's a case of, bloody hell, that's quite good for a fan thing.
Well, you better hope that's not the best bit to it.
No, it's going to be well worth it, especially just for a couple of quid.
Yeah.
Obviously, no profit's being made, and it's done for love, not money.
Mm.
Are the BBC going to allow that to happen?
Well, it's done. There's no profit.
But they're still charging you for a product, even if technically they're not making a profit.
You can probably send you a blank DVD and return postage.
I'm probably sure he'd allow. He'd be probably, I should imagine, quite happy to do it that way.
Yeah.
Blank DVD
I'm not knocking them at all. I'm just worried about the BBC and their...
Especially now that they're... What's it? They're closing the odd site down now. If, for example, someone's got, this is the Doctor Who theme, a little MP3 of, you know, the opening theme or something like that. Owls are original, though.
Owls
are original rearrangements and remixes. So there, try it.
Don't tempt them.
Jeez. You're going to listen to us.
It's in my name.
You never know.
Exactly. We're not worried.
Yeah, come on, bring it on, you bunch of Nancys.
I've been aching to say this for ages. It's ready to burst out of me.
Ugh. Oh, dear.
Ugh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doctor Who!
Woohoo!
Woohoo.
That was a really unenthusiastic woohoo.
Yes,
do it again.
Would you kindly be more enthusiastic?
Woohoo.
I think that's as good as we're going to get.
It depends where you touch him.
Hang about.
No, don't.
So, Doctor Who is back for Series 30.
Four.
So, are you playing golf? Ba-dum-tish, I knew that was going to happen. Set up, knocked him down. Oh.
TV Series 2, Season 4.
Oh, you like
that.
Anyway, let's do it in order. Partners in Crime.
Makes
in fact,
sense.
Before we do that...
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, here we go.
Should we
I'd
do the
like
theme
to
tune?
Have a little
oh,
word
no.
about the theme tune.
Mm.
We like theme the theme tune.
That
theme.
Funky guitar.
Right.
Gibbon.
Here we go. So, no, this...
Oh, come on. Get it over with.
Oh, is he still going?
Yeah.
Jeez, he could whinge for Britain, this guy. Has he finished yet?
No,
I don't think so.
Let's just slow it down just a minute.
Gold. And quite frankly...
No. Go and make a cup of tea or something.
Oh, yeah, could I have a bourbon?
No.
Oh, I think he's finished.
Julia Derbyshire would be turning in her grave.
No, sorry.
I'll have a Garibaldi.
Will you?
Season
you
four.
Might complain about that.
No.
Wait.
No.
Murray Gold really should be shot. And...
No, sorry. No.
No. one of those biscuits with the dead flies in them.
You know, the world has to end eventually. Do you think it'll be finished by then?
Maybe. I mean, how can you say about a 10-second theme tune?
I know. Quite a lot, apparently.
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't blink.
Is he
so, as you can see, and proving my point with the use of diagrams, which I apologise they're not to scale, it is in fact pants.
Right, right. Well, do we agree with that? No.
I wasn't listening.
No. You weren't?
No.
You were making the tea, which incidentally we haven't got yet.
Hang on. He has never made a cup of tea in his life. Partners in crime!
Partners in crime! Boop, boop, boop. Do we need spoiler music?
Yes.
Probably
don't. Spoiler music, Donna dies, spoiler music, oops.
Worship me.
Right, so, Partners in Crime, this is your typical, hello, we're Doctor Who, we're back, this is our first episode, off we jolly well go, fun, isn't it, sort of episode.
And it was really, 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 really good.
It was quite good.
Yes, it was.
And Partners in Crime.
Sorry, that was
me completely forgetting what I was going to say. Partners in Crime put to rest my fears about Catherine Tate, because I did think there'd be too much of, I'm messing about with the £10 note, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I did...
You're just taunting me with it.
I am, yes. I did think there'd be too much of the... what's that character called?
Lauren.
Yeah, that
is
one.
Emma Bobbitt.
That's the one, yeah. But... No, I thought she was cracking. I thought she was really, really good.
I think it's still too early to say if she's going to be
amazing.
Stomachable.
That's really not a word.
Stomachable.
Palatable.
Palatable, thank you. For 13 episodes, but
yeah.
She's okay so far.
But it raised initial questions, didn't it? No, it didn't at all. That was the second episode.
Well, there was the...
That.
The ghostly appearance, which we should probably come to later.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
With a bit more spoiler music. Well, no, I should imagine everybody knows about it.
I think they probably do now.
What the hell?
Everybody knew she was going to be in it, but not quite.
Well, we didn't realise she was actually going to be in it in Partners in Crime. Instead of waiting to the end to talk about Rose being there.
Rose was there.
No, I mean, I was very impressed by her, actually, by Catherine Tate.
I was going to say by Rose.
I always am.
She looked gloomy.
That was her fading away.
I must admit... The moment you first saw her, she had her head turned sideways, and you could see her hair. Mm. I thought, that looks like Rose.
Yeah.
So I wasn't
really
surprised.
Really sad.
When she turned around, I wasn't surprised.
Every angle,
model
up on the computer, and he twists and turns it with the mouse.
Later tonight.
This could get really rude. rude.
Yeah, but as I was saying, I mean, it's nice to have a companion, sort of this, well, first companion for a long time, that's going to keep the Doctor on his toes.
Oh, totally. Mm.
Tin Dog. I was listening to the Tin Dog podcast, and I apologise. I'm not trying to steal this. I actually appreciate what he was saying here. He reckons Donna is essentially a Doctor Who fan, or a fan of the Doctor.
Yeah.
In what way?
She doesn't love him.
No.
Loves the stuff he's capable of doing, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
she is a fan of him.
Yeah, yeah. she did seek him out.
Yeah.
And she just likes to kick his backside to... Make sure he stays on the straight and narrow. I think there's an awful lot of Tegan about her. She's not going to let him.
No.
She's not going to let him get away with a damn thing.
She doesn't look like a frog.
Oh!
I am merely quoting Doctor Who magazine, or was it the official Doctor Who magazine back then? Or oh god, I can't remember.
You're horrible.
Somebody wrote a letter saying Tegan looked like a frog.
Well, she doesn't look like a frog.
Australian, maybe, not a French person.
But no, I think
I can see the lawsuits now.
There's a lot of the same sort of character traits there.
Yeah, I think I as you know, I was on record as saying, oh God. But I also was on record as saying, I want to be proved wrong. And so far, it's looking more likely that I'm going to be proved wrong by Catherine Tate, and I'm happy about that.
So far.
Yeah. There's a few little bits and pieces that are still...
grating.
Yeah. But...
She seems to play the... I find her... She plays the straight stuff or the sad stuff a lot better than the brash stuff. The brash stuff, she tends to slip back into character.
Into comedy character.
Yeah.
But the straight stuff, she plays very well.
Yeah.
Which we'll come to afterwards.
They have been pushing that quite a bit in the first few.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
showing up.
Well, she is a trained actress, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, the thing I found about her was, unlike Martha, I mean, I mean, Donna is a very abrasive character. I mean,
there's no two ways about that.
There's no two ways about that, obviously. I mean, unlike Martha, I mean, sort of, she's not mooning over the Doctor from afar.
Has everyone just gone to the same mental place?
How many moons are you talking about? Anyway,
a couple of
peachy ones.
Peachy light coffee coloured ones.
I'm going to remind you I said that later. So moving on slightly, what did we think of the Doctor and Donna meeting scene?
That took a long time.
Oh, but I loved
it.
Well, you don't have to be a lip reader, but I mean, you've got a damn good idea of what they were saying.
Well, I think it's the first time the Doctor's ever sworn.
Did he swear?
Yeah.
What the hell?
He's not
swearing. He's not like he said bollocks
really
or anything.
No.
Sorry. But no, the whole just missing each other thing I thought was done very well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And any more of that would have been too much.
Yep. They had actually filmed more and they cut
it. They cut a lot. There was meant to be a whole lift scene
really?
Or something, yeah.
24-minute scene, I think, they actually
24.
Met.
I think it worked. And the whole miming across the...
That was so funny.
I think was the comedy response to the Doctor dancers. I haven't said this on the podcast before, but I have said it before, where you've got the scene in the Doctor dancers where the tape recorder's going around and you're hearing the empty child speak.
Yeah.
And slowly the tape recorder runs out and you hear it flicking in the background.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can still hear the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you realise at exactly the same time that the Doctor and co realise that the child's actually there.
Yes.
This, to a certain extent, was the comedy version of that. They're busy talking away to, miming away to each other.
And then you realise...
And you realise just at the same time they do.
Mrs. Foster is looking at them.
Yeah. I realised pretty much at the beginning that
was
going to
happen. Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
I was several rum and cokes in. I was at the launch party.
We weren't invited.
No.
But it
was... the reception... for Partners in Crime at the launch party was great.
Yeah.
Laughs in all the right places, cheers, and it went down a storm.
Yeah.
With
the bit where he just mouthed
people.
Run and grinned, and she didn't, just ran.
Yes.
It was brilliant.
Yes. That was good. And what about Bernard Cribbins?
Oh, we love Bernard.
Obviously, the big plot itself we haven't spoken about.
I am not a big plot.
Point.
Oh, God. That really works well in audio.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
Carry on,
so,
chief scientist.
Carry on. So, what is this big plot arc?
No plot arc, but to the plot, basically,
yes.
As often is the case with modern Who, tie into modern day
yes.
fears and whatever.
Yes.
This time, the weight...
Yeah.
Watching mm-hmm. industry, or whatever you want to call it. Ebby looking to lose weight.
Mm. Yes.
And if you could lose weight
that
way,
like
that? How cute are those little blubbery things?
I honestly think that's going to be the Christmas
Well, of course
toy.
It is. Mm. That and the Anne Summers device that he was blowing into. And that thing, I have
flux
a clip, the flux capacitor thing, yeah.
Gizmo, according to the Doctor
Who
website.
Gizmo.
Ah. And the Sonic pen, lots of merchandising options.
Well, apparently, you can actually buy a knitted adipose.
They used
right
one
now.
During filming, didn't they?
Did they?
Someone's already making them.
Okay.
I should imagine, not necessarily legally.
No, they have to be stress toys. They have to be those squeezable things.
Squishy
yeah.
Well,
so you can all
saying that
the CGI
team actually built themselves a stress ball version.
Well, that's a good idea.
So...
And they should release them at Christmas for parents.
Here's your bloody Dalek that cost us a small fortune. This is mine.
My adipose.
So I'd be saying that to the real Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whose Daleks are those?
That's my hoard.
Right. So stop whinging.
I'm not whinging.
I just love the fact that your youngest construct basically introduced sort of, hello, Grandma, what do you think of Mum's Dalek hoard? And your mum started to weep.
Oh, well, she's been weeping on and off for the last 40 years.
Yes, so go on.
And the other
nice little tie-in there. Fair enough.
Yes, and another thing is the old health and safety angle.
Oh,
everybody's pushing out there. So both Donna and the Doctor,
health and safety.
Yep.
Come in as health and safety.
Yep.
And nobody says a word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if you think about it, it would be the same at work for you or I. If someone said, I'm with health and safety, we'd probably go, yeah, okay. Well, you might not maybe so much on account of your work being responsible for not letting the world blow up or whatever, but...
Yeah.
No, making sure the world doesn't blow up until he wants it to.
Well, yeah, fair point, fair point.
World domination.
And I disagree on the plot arc thing. I think there is a plot arc.
There is.
Year.
It was mentioned in this one how their nursery planet was destroyed.
Bingo.
No, did they say destroyed?
They said lost.
Lost. Well, missing, lost.
Now, it's interesting, reading various forums on that. People are assuming that the planets are therefore missing.
Don't know.
However, there is another definition to the word lost in this particular context.
You mean the planets have just wandered off?
It could be lost in a military sense.
Well, that's assumed.
Yeah. We've
lost the planets. Damn it, men.
My theory is it's all war. Yeah, exactly. It's all going to be to do with time war.
I think that's all over and done with. I think it's something new.
Yeah, but just because it's over and done with, the Second World War's over and done with, but the people are still dead.
It doesn't stop football fans from bringing it up all the time. I'm going to make a point about football fans.
Oh, please don't.
And Doctor Who fans.
Please don't. They're all right. One of the same thing. They like to dress up in silly costumes and follow around.
What I was going to say at all.
Well.
It had to do with the launch party I got invited to. No, I'm not going to say it now.
Good.
No. Okay, plot arc.
I forgot what I was going to say. I did a...
Lost planets.
They've gone missing.
Because in the past season or two, there's not been any reference to any other planets being lost because of the Time War.
Nope.
Back in the first season,
there were a few.
Fall of Arcadia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Fall of Arcadia.
And the other thing which gets, not sure it was in this one, but gets mentioned a few times, is the Shadow Proclamation.
He's been mentioned a lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's also mentioned in the Fires of Vulcan. Fires of Pompeii, sorry.
Yeah.
yeah. And I don't know if it was mentioned in Planet of the Ood. I can't remember. I think it might have been.
I think it was.
Don't know. I'd have to recheck on that one. But is the Shadow Proclamation, is it a group of people? Is it... What is the Shadow Proclamation?
It does sound like an organisation or something. Mm.
Yeah. I don't know, though, because they say Section 4 of the Shadow Proclamation. That makes it sound like it's a document, a widely accepted document.
It's used it in a couple of different
some sort
ways.
Of
context.
Treaty document, something like that.
So you've got the Lost Planets, you've got the Shadow Proclamation, then you've got the... Well, are we going to mention the various things from all three episodes now, or...?
Could do.
Might as well.
Okay, so you've got that... obviously, Rose coming back.
Yeah.
In the Fires of Pompeii, we'll mention about that scene afterwards, but all sorts of stuff flying about in one scene. Donna has something on her back.
Yeah, I have a theory about that.
Me too.
What's your theory?
It's a tattoo.
Mm.
The erotic one from Dave's near the railway station.
That one?
That's strange, isn't it?
I think it's a tattoo of Terence Dix.
A giant spider?
See, that's what I think it is. I think it's one of the... I've forgotten what those spidery things were called. From
like to be the spiders.
No. The ones from the Christmas thingy.
Oh, the Arachnos.
Yeah, I think it might be one of them.
No indication they could go invisible. But
They did. Yeah, did Planet of the Spiders, yeah.
No, the
Arachnos thing.
From
well, I was thinking,
thing.
Yeah. I was thinking of the eight legs.
All in all, I don't think the season's going to end well for Donna.
Well, that's one of the other things. I mean, you've got... she is returning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fairly obvious who she might be. And could be the Queen Arachnos.
Yeah, it could be.
But,
I don't think
so. Or it could be Rose.
And then you've got your story will end soon.
That was the Ood people.
That could be several things. That could be Doctor and Rose.
Your song will be finishing soon. Yeah.
However, if you notice, the Ood actually refer to the Doctor and Donna as one sort of...
Doctor Donna
friend.
Yeah.
But that's only because he...
So your song will be ending soon could mean that the Doctor and Donna are going to be split up some way.
Yes.
It might. Probably. A lot of people are saying, as they said it to the Doctor... It could mean that Tennant's going to go, bye-bye, I'm going to fall off a radio telescope now.
But maybe.
Theory on that. See, that's what I think it is. And I think... See, I've been of the opinion for ages that the season doesn't end well for Donna. And I think it would be extra tragic.
You're the one
voodooed all there. I am. No, I like her, I told you. I think it would be an extra tragic point if he has to give up a life to save hers and then completely fails.
There was a point made in Voyage of the Damned by Mr. Cropper.
Mr. Who?
Copper, was it?
Copper.
Oh, whatever. Clive's character.
Oh, right, yeah.
Isn't it horrible, you know, having to choose who lives and who dies?
Mm.
Now, considering we know all the companions from the new series are coming back for the end of the series, maybe he has to choose one of them to die and one of them to live.
Donna's in trouble.
I think, is Donna connected with Rose in some way? Because only Rose appeared when she was there.
Well, who was being referred to when, yes, or Daughter of London?
Because that could be any of them.
Could be all true. Well, yeah.
Curiouser, said Alice.
So maybe Rose is a thing on
Donna's back.
Donna's back. Maybe it is a tattoo, but a tattoo of a bad wolf.
Ooh.
I think we should leave speculation there on that very, very good. No, yes, we applaud
that. Yes, we do. That's very good. Very good.
So, anything more to say about Partners in Crime?
I think it is quite fun the way they made that journalist a complete idiot.
Oh, yes. Wasn't she a knob?
Yeah, very much so.
And the bit where she wandered off at the end with a chair still tied to her backside.
She goes into a big press conference and makes herself very well known
rather than sitting quietly at the back taking notes. You know, why not just put a big sign on your head saying, look for me in the toilets?
Now, people thought she was Martha.
Really?
At first glance, I thought, oh, that's Martha, but then I can't see, so yeah.
No, it didn't.
No, there's quite a few people went, are you sure that wasn't Martha? No, it wasn't Martha. No. The thing with, very quickly to go back to the plot arc thing, when they said about the Dr. Donna Friend song ending, it was the Doomsday vocal that was playing.
Oh, in the background,
yes.
Big arguments over that, people saying, no, it's the Doctor's theme, no, it's Rose's theme, no, it's Doomsday theme, it's the Doomsday theme, all right? Do I make myself quite clear?
I say it's Rose's theme.
Well, it is now, apparently.
Well, before she got a piano drops in there.
Well, it always was, because in the first episode, when she first steps into the TARDIS, it plays. It just plays it at a different pitch. You go back and listen.
Sure.
I'm positive.
I look to the music maestro here, but I doubt
he knows I'm right.
I would have to go back and check.
Other people have
said that. I always thought Rose's theme was slightly different, actually, to the Doomsday theme. But I will have to go and check.
It was less sort of deathly.
Well, there are also thoughts coming out that possibly what we saw in Partners in Crime is actually the end of episode 13.
Ooh.
Could be.
So she's come back after all the carnage and whatever.
Well, the thing is, could she cause the carnage?
Who knows?
Probably.
So desperate and selfish. Yeah. I mean, we know how selfish Rose is.
Yeah.
So desperate and selfish she is, she's decided, no, I'm actually going to go through the void and come back and see him.
I don't think she should be
carrying
that selfish.
Baby. No.
We're delving into the realms of fan fiction there.
I don't know. I think she could be that selfish. If there was a glimmer of hope, I reckon she'd do it.
I don't know. If he's told her that both universes would be destroyed, I think she'd probably think twice.
We shall see.
Again.
Fires of Pompeii.
Fascists has walked away. Okay, yeah.
No, it hasn't. It's still here. Quiet, my beauty.
Wait until 1:20, when then you hear the cat flap go.
1:10, wasn't it?
Yes, it was 1:10. Trouble is, what happens if you don't have a cat flap?
Climbs out.
And how do they climb walls? And how do they open
windows? They're made of fat. They stick to the walls.
Yeah, they remind me of Vince from Rex the Runt.
No, they're
shaved Furbies. Shaved flumps.
I must admit, I want to get hold of Rex the Runt on DVD.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Preferably the first series, but the second series wasn't as good.
Spontaneous Pavarotti syndrome.
Yes. La 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 la. Random Pavarotti's.
Fires of Pompeii. Right.
Sorry. Yes.
Getting to the point.
Yes. Fires of Pompeii.
Welsh.
Look Welsh, yes.
Speaking Welsh when they try to speak Latin.
Yeah.
Nice idea.
I don't speak Celtic.
Yes, eagle-eyed viewers would have noticed that was Phil Cornwell.
Indeed.
Yeah, from Dead Ringers.
I don't think he did a particularly
good job. I think watching up until the point where he was in it, which was like 2 minutes in, I thought, oh yeah, this is good. And then I heard his god-awful Cockney accent and I was watching Mask of Mandragora all over again and cringing. And
yeah, there was no Terry Walsh in it, though.
Awful.
In a bad wig.
Presumably the TARDIS is translating the accent as well.
You'd think it would do that.
Well, it could have been free, especially for Donna.
But why only him?
Because he was from
free
East
British
end
slave
of Pompeii.
The East End of Pompeii.
Did you watch Confidential afterwards? He was a barrow boy, hence, all right there, governor. Yes.
Lovely jabbly. It was just embarrassing, I'm afraid.
It was a poor performance, in all fairness.
It wasn't great.
Was it worth them going all the way over to those studios?
What, Cinecittà Studios?
Sorry, do you want to say that again?
Cinecittà.
Was it worth it?
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
There was a lot of shots of them walking down the road.
The same street, yeah.
Mm. Which is fine, okay, they get a bit of value out of it, but did they need all that? Could they have mocked up just one or two streets?
Mm. I don't think it added any atmosphere at all. Like Adam said, you could do that anywhere with one of those bright, bawdy things they use to make it look brighter than it is.
Yeah.
It did feel like a very slow start because of all that wandering around.
I suppose that to justify the cost.
It's a city of death. Arkham Infinity all over again.
Planet of Fire.
Of the three, this is...
You managed to work out what the other one was. You're sad.
Yeah, I know.
Of the three, this is like my least favourite.
Yeah, agreed.
So
really? I really enjoyed it.
I liked the end. I thought once Volcano Day hit and all the effects with the volcano erupting,
that was excellent. I thought
that was damn good.
Especially for the Beeb. Especially for a family entertainment programme to come out with something that good.
Yeah. But the beginning, I thought, was very slow, and some of the performances, if I wasn't a Doctor Who fan, I'd have gone, oh, sod this, I'm watching Coronation Street.
Well, interesting. I'll remind me, I want to come back to what you've just said there.
Okay.
The scene which we just mentioned with all the exposition and the something on your back, I thought that was really overloaded and really heavy-handed.
It went very quickly, and I didn't take much notice.
It was too much. And it's a case of... It was too much, and it could have turned people off.
Mm.
I think it was very fast, you know, a jumble of words. If you're not, don't really care, I think it wouldn't mean anything to you.
I think they didn't make it apparent, or they knew all about the Doctor's background, where
it was
from.
That was quite good.
Well, yeah, this prophecy business. Now, they didn't know anything about Volcano Day. Now, was it blocked from them, or... was the prophecy not there because it wasn't going to happen until the Doctor decided to make the volcano explode?
I think
that's what all that was about, the most difficult choice.
Well, I mean, he
it was only once he'd made that choice that it suddenly...
They made that
timeline.
Yeah.
In essence, he made a loop in time.
Interesting Roman helmet monsters.
Yes.
Yeah, God.
I thought they looked quite good, but it took a long time for them to show up, so the only... threat in the first 10-15 minutes was the impending explosion of the
volcano.
What the hell? You know it's going to happen. You know the Doctor can get away from Pompeii
easily.
Shame they just didn't have somebody dressed up as McCoy's Doctor just running quickly in the background. From the big finish audio, the Vars of Vulcan. That was funny. Chased by Steve Wickham. That would have been quite amusing. That would have amused me because I'm sad.
In this case, there's no relation between the big finish and the final.
Not really, no.
Unlike other episodes of previous seasons where they had taken...
I still say, I mean, spare parts, stuff. How? Rise of the Cybermen, the Age of Steel...
No, they don't seem related
at all. There's no relation at all. But
no.
It was got sparked off, apparently, from spare parts. One hell of a good audio, that one.
We need to mention the water pistol.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
What was that?
It was okay to start with, and then when he was down in the cavern and he squirted it...
Mm-hmm.
Why did the monster even bother, you know?
It should have been a one-off gag.
Yeah. It should have been. It doesn't seem enough to do anything at all.
No.
It's fine with the priestess, but after that, no.
Yes.
Oh, bad editing as well.
Oh.
Something I noticed. You know when, I don't know the lad's name, the son, goes to gets the bucket of water and throws it over the pyrovile. If you notice it, he gets the bucket of water, he throws it, and from behind the camera comes a loop of water.
Really? I didn't notice. I watched it twice, I didn't notice it.
Seriously.
I have to look out for that.
I'm sorry, that's one of those little moments you notice.
It's like the hand in Pyramids of Mars.
Yeah. You're saying pyrovile. How uncanny is that? Terry Nation lives.
How do you mean?
Terry Nation had this wonderful knack of sort of writing... creatures whose names and names of their planets mysteriously mimicked...
Latin.
No, not so much Latin, but mimicked what the planet was like. For example, Aridius was incredibly arid.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Aridians. Now, strangely enough, what's even more bizarre is the planet Windius. Originally was lush and lots of water.
Mm.
So why would it have been called Aridius? But suddenly it's arid. Then, of course, there's the Visians, who were invisible.
Okay.
And now we've got the Pyroviles, who are all fiery.
Yeah.
Mm. Terry Nation lives.
From Pyrovilia.
Someone is channeling him. I mean, he was Welsh, so...
Was he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look you, K. careful stuff and other Welsh stuff.
You is that Welsh?
I've only been to Wales twice.
Me too. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm drifting.
Pyrovilia, another planet which has been lost.
Yes.
Yes, taken.
Roughly.
From behind.
Who's doing this?
Why?
And where are all the bees?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's one plot thread I don't really care for.
Yeah, is this a plot thread or is this just something that's been chucked in because the bees are dying out? Yeah, it's just a running...
No, it's another one of their trying to tie in with real life, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Are they just mentioning it because...
No, it's obviously they've taken the plot from
reality. It's very sad that bees are actually dying out for real. Mm.
Who's going to pollinate the plants?
Well, like I say, the human race is doomed, and it's all down to our own making.
Depressing.
Yeah, true, though.
Good to see Donna kidnapped.
Definite Sarah Jane Smith incident there.
Sarah would have...
screamed more.
She might have screamed slightly, but I think she'd have still had a go at them.
She'd have screamed.
Not
all
as
she
much
did
as
was
Donna.
Scream.
I think Donna didn't quite realise just how much danger she was
in. Exactly. Yeah, she got angry about it.
Yeah. Mm. She'd have shut up if they'd have stuffed the knife in.
I'd love to know where this illusion that Sarah Jane Smith was this great heroine has come from, because all she did was scream.
She'd give him a mouthful.
Back to fan fiction again.
Sarah Jane. Bloody five doctors.
Another running thing here is the Doctor and Donna.
Yes.
Each episode insisting they're not married.
Yes, that's a good gag. And I keep, yes, no, we're not together, no, never together.
The
no.
I'm Spartacus.
And
so am I. I don't know, I find that a bit tedious, like in the Ood episode, when the Ood calls her Miss and she says, "What, do I look single?" I'm like, get over it, love.
Yeah, it's obviously playing to a comedy.
Well, yeah, they shouldn't.
Great. I mean, in all fairness, Fires of Pompeii, she was damn good.
Wasn't she just when she realised that they had to die?
Yeah.
And he, you know, and she was shouting at him to at least save someone. I know! It's so sad!
It's okay.
You can probably go see him.
Well, sort of.
Well, what's left of him?
Well, no, it's a plaster cast.
Well, that's all it is, because the archaeologist pumped stuff in.
Now, that's something I just want to mention very briefly. Confidential. Mm-hmm. The Fires of Pompeii, Confidential, I thought was superb. Incredibly educational and enjoyable too.
It's good to see some places that a couple of us have visited.
Certainly.
Mr. Garlic might have been there.
At the telly going, "We've been there!
Been there!" Attendance only now. Been there.
Did the telly say anything back?
We didn't go up Vesuvius though, which was a shame. We didn't have the time. Yeah. Although I have since looked out hotels right on the doorstep of Pompeii. So.
Is that wise?
That cracks me up. I mean, the doctor in the programme turned around and said, "So you had this earthquake 17 years ago. Do you not think to move?" And they're doing the same, still.
I know, it's steaming nicely, isn't it?
It's a case of, it's going to happen again.
I'm glad they drew Vesuvius properly, though. And Vesuvius, as we know, having been there, has a gaping hole in the top where it exploded.
Yep.
But they drew it as t'was. Yeah. I was very pleased with that. I was very worried they were going to draw it as it is now.
No, I mean, they deliberately took shots of the top thingy and then added to it.
The crater.
Yeah, the thing. The sinkhole.
And then added to it, yeah.
Planet of the Ood.
Hold on.
Oh!
One last thing.
No, but as us, I mean,
okay.
If I'm just getting a word. Bumholes.
Ooh, that's your word.
That's two words.
It's one word.
Hyphenated?
No.
Okay. No, it's just, I mean, it's just the last...
hyphenated bumhole.
It's just... Have I?
Go on.
No, so, I mean, it's just the last scene where Pompeii is getting being engulfed by all the volcanic ash and pumice. I mean, the initial blast of the pyroclastic cloud coming out.
Is that your big word for this podcast?
I've got many like that.
That was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just a scene where they're standing on the hillside overlooking it and all the ejectors coming out of the volcano. The very final scene where they're in the family he saved are in Rome.
Mm. Yes, Gabriel.
And they say, "Are you going to pray to the household gods?"
Yes.
Which he does. And that's it. I mean, the actual bas relief set into the stone is of the Doctor, Donna and the TARDIS.
With police box in Latin.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't take that much notice.
Big screen. But you've got to wonder what price is there going to be to pay for that act for saving them.
Well, exactly.
Will that come back to haunt them?
I think it will.
Just a family of four people, think how many millions exactly. of descendants they will have.
That could I wonder be a major if one
of them
change.
Could be Noble of London.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Circles within circles, cogs. Wheels within wheels.
Cogs in cogs.
What okay. in cogs?
Cogs in cogs.
Oh. Frogs in clogs.
What? Bananas in pyjamas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Running down the stairs. I never knew. Shut up.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Please.
Planet of the Ood. How wonderful to have a title that's Planet of the something.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as Planet of the Daleks, though.
Because it had no Daleks in it.
Ood.
Now, I've got to admit, I didn't think much of this one, and
I quite liked it.
I liked
I fell asleep
this one.
During Confidential afterwards.
It's because you're old.
Confidential yeah. wasn't up to much, but...
Talk.
The very first scene thing it is Catherine Tate and the David Tennant being thrown around the TARDIS.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And what terrible being thrown around acting.
Yeah. That was Tate pretty poor, actually. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That was voiced to the bottom of the sea being thrown around.
She would look rubbish in Star Trek.
She's no Billy Piper when it comes to hurling herself around the console.
And no disrespect, because I am of a portly nature. But how nice to
stop
see
stroking
a companion,
it.
How nice to see a companion who isn't a slim nothing.
Yeah.
Donna
yeah.
has a bit of meat on her bones.
Mm-hmm. Certainly true.
She's a normal person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Well, yeah.
Physically.
I love the way they've landed on the planet. Mm-hmm. He's describing the planet in all its majesty.
Oh, yes.
He's really on a roll, and she's nipped back indoors to get a coat.
Get a coat, yeah.
But again, we don't see any other room of the TARDIS.
No. You want to see the wardrobe room, don't you?
We've seen that, but nicely...
You want to see the companions' rooms. I mean, during the 80s, Nyssa and Teagan's room, oh, he loved it.
I bet he did.
Oh, yeah.
That big sonic device that Nyssa built in the Visitation.
Oh, yeah.
Was that in there afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Right by the bed.
I see.
Oh, dear.
God.
I think it's some nice landscape shots.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
Really
yeah.
good. It's
across that ice bridge.
Yeah.
TARDIS can.
Yes.
It's the first time we've really seen it done properly. There'd been a shot or two in... Before Rose left, was it? Of them on an alien landscape.
Yeah.
But you hadn't actually seen it in a proper episode as such.
No. It's nice
finally,
to,
we have.
Finally yeah. they have. How soon before we see another one?
Yeah, probably a long time.
Oh, the Medusa Cascade. That's the other thing.
Mm.
Didn't mean anything to me.
The Master mentions the Medusa Cascade. The Doctor seals the rift at the Medusa Cascade. The Master mentions that.
Right.
We don't
sorry,
see it, though.
No.
As in,
it's mentioned.
Sim. John Sims' Master.
Yeah. Okay. It's mentioned, though, by girly bloke in Fires of Pompeii going on about...
The soothsayer?
Yeah, she mm-hmm. sooths that your name is written in the Cascade of Medusa or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm drifting.
Hmm.
The Oods. I loved the idea of the hind brain. I thought that was so sweet. I loved it. That's why they're so... docile, because you know they've got, as they said, they've got to be able to trust everyone.
A nice
could
idea
you imagine
on paper.
All going to shake one of their hands and
oh yeah. dear,
quite of an infection problem there, I would have thought. But
no, it'd be protected by a membrane.
Yeah, I didn't quite buy it from an evolutionary point of view, but
well, that's it. I mean, why would they have a forebrain sort of projecting out of their what would be their mouth? I mean,
well, they've got two hands,
mm-hmm.
and they've only got one free at any one time.
Well, that's it. Yeah,
well, they don't.
The Uda we've seen up to now with the translators clip them onto their shirts.
Mm, yeah.
Well,
so
perhaps they do that.
Free.
Perhaps there's a sucker thing on their
Maybe.
Shoulder because we've never seen a naked Uda.
Perhaps they have a little pouch or something.
They might ridiculous. Do. It might be like a kangaroo.
That doesn't defeat the object of them having to hold it in their hand.
Or perhaps they have to hold it in their hands a certain amount of time for throughout the day.
Keep it warm.
Yeah.
Your brain.
Oh, dear God.
Can't they just knit a cosy for it?
Yeah.
Brain cosy.
Mm.
Yeah. But that was. Another example of Catherine Tate really at her best when the Doctor turned on her psychic ability and she could hear the song of
the slave,
captivity, and it was just making her cry. And I thought, yeah, that was a cracking bit of acting.
They have been pushing the compassionate, the weepy
Madonna
a fair bit, just to, I suppose, show that there is more to her than just this jokey,
exactly.
flippant, you know.
Brash,
yes. Which is fair enough.
Yeah. I did. I was worried. I'd figured out that the thing the glowy red pin was going to be the brain.
Yeah.
But all I could think about was that episode of Futurama where the big brains came and invaded the Earth. Yes. And I was really worried that it was going to be lots of little brains, all the little hind brains they'd cut off, and they'd chucked them all in the pit. And they would start floating and hovering.
Bad CSO.
And, yeah. I was really worried that was going to happen, so I was quite glad it was just the one brain.
I was minded of Time of the Rani, which is worse.
Much worse.
Oh, yes.
But again, evolutionary speaking...
You don't know what protection there'd have been for it when they found it.
Well, also, it was buried under the ice.
Yeah.
Also, it's a human...
Brain freeze.
A human brain.
Mm.
If you see a brain of any other animal on Earth, they look different to human
brains.
Well,
we don't know.
This is just a giant human brain.
We don't know what was underneath it, though.
I eat faggots.
It looked like
the
note for our American listeners. Mrs. Blaine's faggots are these beautiful sort of meatball things made of offal.
The bit of the brain we saw looked like a human brain, but you don't know what was further down.
Well, I suppose
it might have had big nobules sticking off of it.
Big nobules.
Maybe. Well, sitting on something, some kind of collar, don't they?
Well, I mean, it goes to explain why the Ood had a collective consciousness anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Didn't really see any other life forms on there, so it's hard to understand the ecology.
No one going to complain about Tim McInerney becoming an Ood.
No, I thought that was cracking.
I think
that
would have
a lot of
poetic justice.
Yeah, I imagine they get a lot of complaints over that.
It was very squelchy. Very squelchy.
There's a precedent, of course, in Doctor Who for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is
there? Scaring
the Batman.
We don't mention Delta
and
the Batman.
Yeah, it wasn't quite so graphic as Peely is scalping.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was great.
I think they get a few complaints.
I thought it was a little bit daft.
They'll only get complaints from parents whose kids really thought it was fantastic.
Tentacles coming out of his mouth.
I loved the whole thing of the guy falling into the brain. You know, the brain food gags were flying around the living room.
Presumably the Ood feed the brain in some way normally.
Yeah, little flakes.
I don't know how that works.
I really need to watch this one again. I've only seen it the once, and I just turned off in it, tuned out in it.
I enjoyed this one.
I enjoyed it too. Another couple of modern day references. Mm-hmm. The Doctor talking to Donna, who makes your clothes.
Slavery. Yeah.
Sweatshops. And the foot and mouth solution.
Oh, yes, killing off everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I just find it strange that shortly after all the Ood were coming home to Oodworld, that the second great and bounteous human empire collapsed.
Was coming to an end,
I'm not sure of the time frame on that.
Keith pointed that out.
The second great and bounteous...
Hang on, this is 42 something, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. 61 or something. The second great and bountiful empire was when Eccleston turned up.
That was the fourth great.
That was the fourth.
The fourth, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. This is back.
Hang on, first Empire. No,
the
first
real
Empire
Keith pointed
3,
this out that the Doctor he thinks the Doctor's going to have been responsible for the fall of the second great and bountiful human empire,
probably
by saving freeing the Ood.
Well, it says in Wrath of Bloody Well, relying on slaves.
Well said, frankly. Brother.
Yes. Robots of Death Syndrome again as well.
Very much so.
It's a case of, hello, kill the Doctor, kill the red eyes. And
please do not throw hands at me. The red eyes still freak me out.
Yeah,
they just look so weird.
It's good that they at least kind of explained how it works. Obviously the devil triggered
this red eye condition.
In the brain, the giant brain sort of triggered the second outburst, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ood themselves, I mean, they were just the patsies in all of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes Catherine take the Eddie. Sorry.
Okay.
But a strong start? What were we thinking for the whole
series? I don't think it's
as
strong a start as the last few series is.
No. Well, there's only been four.
No, even, I mean, the first series... By this time, I was completely and utterly hooked, and thank God they haven't ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the second. The third was okay, but this is probably the weakest start of the four.
Most people say that, actually, first series, great. Second series, not as good, no.
Well,
third series, yeah.
And no, I think this
series,
has been the weakest.
It's interesting to note the viewing figures as well.
8.4 million for the first episode.
6.9 for Planet of the Ood.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the time
and
slot.
Celebrity Mr. and Mrs. came very close to beating it.
Really?
In the same time slot.
Yeah. They really need to move around to 7 o'clock. Mm.
It's the time slot that's arsing it about.
Yeah, that's what's going to be there for the next couple of weeks. I mean, admittedly, we've got a Suntaran cover on the Radio Times tomorrow, the 22nd of April. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to the Suntarans.
So am I.
Mm-hmm.
I must profess. I don't know, let's wait and see. At first two episodes I thought were strong. I thought Planet of the Ood... Well, I can't do it justice because I drifted off during it, so I need to go back and watch it again.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first and the third, not so much Fires of Pompeii.
Yeah.
But one thing I should say...
I would say, I enjoyed the first two episodes, Partners in Crime and the Fires of Vesuvius. I mean, I also enjoyed Planet View, but for different reasons. I mean, it made you think more about sort of...
Brain fooder.
Well, apart from that, I mean, obviously, with the was it the 200th anniversary of the abolition of slavery? Being quite recent.
Oh yes,
I mean it was a rather relevant episode that was.
Yeah, again,
great comment.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to.
I was going to say, David Tennant, if you're out there, it's amygdala, not amygdala. Mispronouncing that part of the brain. It's the amygdala.
You'd think he'd know.
Doesn't know his brain anatomy.
He doesn't.
Does he?
I mean, for a doctor, that's
yeah, indeed,
outrageous.
And on that point, ladies and gentlemen, we'll
strike
end
him off
that segment. Let us
pray.
What?
Let us pray.
Oh dear, God. No, I'm not going to let you read the letter because you squint and you can't read letters.
That's because you write it so bloody small.
Don't blame me. Who wants to read a letter?
Let the chief scientist read a letter.
Chief scientist
and Crumbly read a letter.
I have a letter.
Crumbly, if you read the one from our Norwegian friend.
Our Norwegian friend.
Our Swedish friend. Sorry, Gunny, our Swedish friend. First of all, do we have a letter there from somebody?
We do.
Oh. Ooh. Who could it be from?
I wonder.
Is it in a brown envelope?
It's
not from Jeffrey Archer. The liar, Jeffrey Archer.
Indeed.
£2,000 because he felt sorry for her.
Twice a night for a week.
Go on, read it. Read it.
It says, dear team.
Yes.
Ooh.
You've all done.
Yes.
Fairly well.
Oh.
Yours, George McFadden.
George is in a bad mood.
He's displeased with us.
He's a bit upset. We forgot to put his letter in last time.
Oh, sorry, George.
I take it he may not have sent us anything.
He did, actually.
He did?
It's a bit big for the envelope, but here we go.
What worries me is he's actually miming this.
It's an umbrella.
An umbrella.
With a question mark handle.
Are we really going to have to go through it all now? We've got the hammerhead blokey chap. We've got Akbar. We've got
the State of
the
Decay.
Pescatons.
Was it State of Decay?
No, Doctor of the Pescatons.
Oh, dear.
Target novel.
What was the other thing? Willow.
Yeah.
And an umbrella.
The Order might be important, so I don't know.
Oh,
God. Back to old ones.
Mighty. If anybody can piece this together, good luck.
Yeah.
We've got a letter from our regular viewer, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hello, Leslie.
Hello.
Between fake Keith and her medication.
Medication.
Nothing different fake Keith and her medication.
Medication. And yes, those Edinburgh castle cobblestones. It's Edinburgh. As Edinburgh castle cobblestones are slippery. I was having fits of giggles. I went into Edinburgh and it hurt.
Am I being mocked here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to mock you even more, in fact.
Okay.
Yes.
The possessed shoes bit made me laugh a lot. Everybody wants to listen to podcast number 18.
Don't.
Fake Keith thought I said Neris.
No.
Well, I said Neris shoes and she thought I said possessed shoes.
He said possessed shoes. I stand by my ears.
Do you really?
Yes.
And another quote from Fake Keith.
Your
ego's really getting out of hand. It implies it was in hand in the first place. And one from me.
It's a brain.
Am I suddenly a lot of women?
Yes, you are. Right.
She's had some thoughts for a new sad fan ambition for me.
Oh, yeah.
Still wanting to hear more of those.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah.
I can achieve. There you go. She needs to give it more thought. Though Fake Keith's suggestion to seduce John Barrowman sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
That might yet be possible. Can you try to seduce Lala Ward? That might yet be possible. She's married too. Can you attempt to like the new theme? No, I can't attempt to like the new
theme. Yes, you can.
I'm sorrible.
Come on.
I'm sorrible.
You're sorrible.
I'm sorrible, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Yes, isn't it nice to hear that Richard Dawkins will be making his second appearance in Doctor Who?
Second appearance?
Second. He was in the Dying Days novel. with his wife.
Count.
Oh, so other new adventures, non-canonical.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. That was the first time she'd heard the intro to Ashes to Ashes.
David Bowie.
And it made her roll her eyes, but she liked the music.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, it wasn't actually the proper intro as such. You'd pasted together, cut and pasted, hadn't you? She normally talks over the top or something.
A little bit different, but it's basically the same.
Yeah. I apologise to everyone for making you watch Horns of Nymon. We haven't seen Horns of Nymon yet. I'm trying to persuade them to.
No.
She didn't know that would happen. She hasn't watched it yet herself.
Don't.
Oh, do. Lord Nymon.
I've never seen Horns of Nymon. So.
You lucky lad. If we do it, can we have alcohol?
Yeah. Need it.
Thank you.
Hard drugs.
I'm actually thinking
or hard drugs,
oxide.
Yeah.
Nitrous oxide.
Thank you. Yes. Sounds good. She can sleep on the floor with the head.
Okay.
By the way, she loved The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. She read it because of us.
Yay, well done, Leslie.
Right.
We've actually helped somebody. Dear God. And she's also listened to the Tin Dog. What is wrong with my mouth tonight? Listened to Tin Dog podcast for the first time.
Oh, good.
And was gratified that I agreed with him on several points.
Crumbly,
you've got one there from Gunny, I believe.
Yes, I have.
Hello, Gunny.
Sweden. Sorry, Gunny.
Right, it begins. Hi, gang. And Leslie, tee hee.
Hello.
Should we go on there?
Right. If you're going to formally invite Leslie, surely you should formally ban me. For your own safety.
Not so much ours as hers.
Well, it's been a cold winter and polar bears around our igloos are aplenty. Come spring harvest, I'll be a raving nut.
Okay.
I know, Gunny, trust me, that past point is long past, girl. What is wrong? Why? I'm saying that again. I know, Gunny, and trust me, that point is long past gone.
Bonsoir, ma petite Leslie. Runs away blushing.
Gunny and Leslie
in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Right, competition. Sad fan ambition. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Convinced LucasArts to replace all the music of John Williams.
Right.
Sorry, I was waiting for Tony to spit.
I am containing my twitches.
All right. And the London Symphony Orchestra in all Star Wars movies and related products with Tony's own music in a special Director's Surgery DVD collection edition.
Oh, Lord.
Love, Gunny.
I'll do it for the money, but nothing else.
Tell us about the money, Gunny.
We still have that competition is still open.
Oh, yes.
Basically, I need a new sad fan ambition, something I can achieve, something that I'm likely to be able to do and enjoy doing. So, yep, right in. The address is show@staggeringstories.net.
.net.
But did John Williams shoot first?
I don't get it.
We'll have a chat with the real Keith and explain the facts of life to him again.
Okay.
That's not a conversation.
John Williams shooted first.
I still don't get it.
Okay.
It was premature ejaculation.
What?
That's not what I was doing.
Han Solo Greedo. Right. Star Wars Canteen. In the original Star Wars, Han Solo shot Greedo.
Yeah,
first.
He did. He shot him under the.
In the reimagined edition thingy in Lucas's head,
yeah.
Greedo shoots him. Shoots
oh,
first.
A load of rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And in fact, the Family Guy version, Solo shoots first.
Yeah, 47 times.
Yeah. And Lucas was seen on the set of Indy 4 wearing a T-shirt saying, Han shot first.
It's that Sith Gungan in his throat.
That large pendulous mass.
You're hooked on this word pendulous, aren't you?
Pendulous.
Every time I see an interview with George Lucas, my eyes are drawn to it, wobbling under his chin.
I believe that's the end of the podcast.
Woo-hoo.
We can hope.
Yes. Don't forget to listen to me and Trev on the WhoCast.
Ooh.
Why I'm doing a big cheesy smile and putting my thumbs up. God, only knows.
Local radio, man.
Yeah, oh, God, no. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking about the Sontaran stratagem and, can I say, the second part Can I say the name of the second part?
You better do, because we won't know.
You sure?
Yeah.
Is it the one where Donna dies?
No. It's just I don't know how much you want to know, so...
I suppose the title
It's called
works.
The Poison Skies, or The Poison Sky.
Okay.
Okay, so... Oh, that was something else. There was a clue in the very first, in Partners in Crime, to the Sontaran story.
What was there?
Have a look at the taxi.
Written by Sontaran?
No, that wasn't a Sontaran.
That's a clue.
It's very bad acne.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, so we'll be talking about Sontaran stratagem and Poison Sky, and... I don't know, very possibly Bender's big score from Futurama.
Mm.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Don't know what else.
Mm.
Okay, toodles.
See ya.
Bye.
Vote Boris.
No.
Please vote Boris just for
the sheer love. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 19, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, and Tony Galichon. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this podcast is a McFadden Publishing production for www.staggeringstories.net. It's Howls. The who cast is all Howls.
Sorry. So you're about to launch into Call My Bluff. Ah, bish tush, sir.
What did they used to be, though? This was...
Sorry.
The meaning of this word.
You do a good Frank Muir. Windows.
It's been dead years.
My point exactly.
All right.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Frank Muir, yes.
Oh, I'm genuinely sad.
Oh.
Sorry.
You're going to have to go out and wear a bow tie in memory.
In memory.
I may have to go...
Confibularities.
You've lost. We've completely lost Adam.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to try and come back in.
Nanite Hump. Thanks, mate.